Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaSports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you into fantasy sports like we are? It's time to get the inside scoop on the sport and how it affects your team. This is Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. It's a hard look at the transactions, the injuries, free agents, and starters. And the best part is, you get to ask the experts so you can win. Now, here's Dish Adams.
Oh, yeah. You are talking to the only guy who predicted the Broncos' victory. And even though it was a partial prediction, I'm taking full credit because I'm the only one who even came close to saying it could happen. But information, that's what you want. Playoff football in full effect. Tim Tebow, he is the story. John 3:16, I think, is the story after the 316 yards, the 31.6, the interception with 3:16 or 3rd and 16, whatever it is. Do ye have faith? I am the pundit. I said it. Broncos in New England, I'll tell you how I figured it out. Saints in San Francisco, Houston in Baltimore, and the football Giants against the Pack. T.J. Yates, a playoff juggernaut indeed, trouncing Andy Dalton and the Bengals. And even Smitty didn't see that one coming. I think maybe I talked him into that. It was wrong of him to listen. Coaching changes for next season. We'll go through them all. Todd Bowles still getting no love in Miami. Played as well as anyone in the league the last 3 weeks under his tutelage. That's me having a little conniption fit in my throat while I'm talking. Hazard of the job. Occupational hazard. Romeo Crennel, hired by the Chiefs. Dan may actually be dead from the toxic shock. I don't think he's coming on. He's not here yet. He's always on time. So that means we're not going to get his feedback on Crennel. You'll have to take mine instead. Spags, McDaniels, both landing. I want to talk about Josh McDaniels mid-playoffs going from Denver to New England. Should that be allowed? Raheem Morris is gone. Who cares? But in Tampa, now all they're doing is interviewing old men, not even old school, just old men. Schottenheimer, maybe Mike Sherman's not so old, but they got Brad Childress ready to continue the losing tradition as their play caller. If you guys go that way, you deserve to lose. You will again. The Jets have gone crazy. All kinds of changes there in New York. All kinds of turmoil there in New York. That's the kind of thing that usually happens to a team before they get better. NFL draft news. People are declaring for the draft. Richardson is my guy from Alabama. He's going pro. Robert Griffin III now going pro. A few LSU guys going pro. Good thing. They obviously can't play the college game. Boy, did they get trounced. Blackman going pro. Will Lee Steinberg rep them? The super agent will be here next week. Obviously, he's going through some stuff right now. You can see my Facebook page to get his statement regarding his Chapter 7 bankruptcy and explaining the situation. His name has been tarnished. We, as a friend of Lee, will have him here next week so you can talk to him directly and you can hear his story directly. It's very compelling. A little preview of English Premier League soccer. Again, don't forget, we talked about it. When the football ends, the beautiful game begins. Improvements for Fantasy Insights next season. Still going through it. I told you, econometric modeling, advanced analytics. What does it all mean? I'm not telling you. I'm just going to do it. Ease of use and better info. That's what you need to know. And we're going to PayPal. We told you that. We're working it out now as we speak. And, of course, the political minute. When I'm here without supervision, I always like to do this. You cannot strike down Sharia as law. In Oklahoma, the federal court ruled it is unconstitutional to say no Sharia law. Fantasy Insights Radio back for another Thursday. To help you manage your football playoff experience, call me. I don't have a co-host. You want your radio debut? Call me, 888-346-9144. You can be my co-host until Smitty calls or anybody calls. Otherwise, you're just going to have to listen to me talk to myself for a long time. So here we are, alone at last. I don't mind it. I can be alone and just talk. Everybody knows it. Everybody who's been friends with me for a long time, even those of you who just listen, you should know, I'm the guy who, like, I could be having a phone conversation with you on the mobile phone, and I can talk for 7 or 8 minutes straight before I realize that the phone went dead and I lost the call. So I call you back, and I'll be like, where was I in the story? I have to retrace my steps. My goodness, I usually hope it's only been a minute or two, but quite often it's longer. Now, with the news of Oklahoma, this Sharia law thing, and the federal court saying that you cannot put in an amendment that says you cannot reference Sharia law in decision-making in the courts, duh. You really shouldn't have to put in an amendment. It should be said that you shouldn't be able to do that because Sharia law is not U.S. constitutional law. Not a religious thing. It's just not constitutional law. I wouldn't put in Jewish law or Christian law either. The NFL Network, now that we have this law, I'm going to just institute Dish's law. Dish's law is now going to be the law of the land. And Dish's law includes that the NFL Network is now state television. Everybody's required to watch NFL Network every day. Any woman I deem beautiful is now my personal concubine, and my wife's just going to have to accept that. You know, it's Dish's law. She'll be fine. You have to say the Pledge of Allegiance at school to the United States of America. No more interviews for inmates or terrorists. If you're in prison, you're in prison. You don't get to do social networking. You don't get to go on TV and tell everybody how gruesome what you did was and how you really feel sorry and you should be let out. Screw you. Stay in prison and shut up. Terrorists, no interviews for you either. We're not going to put you on to tell us how you want death to America and death to Israel and death to anybody who doesn't consume themselves with Sharia law. You're gone. Burning the flag is illegal under Dish's law. I don't care about First Amendment when it comes to that. You burn the flag, get out. You can burn it, but you're kicked out of the country. And then the final part of Dish's law is Dan has to do all my work. But wait, we already have that in place. Although, if Dan's dead, how is anybody going to do my work? Now, speaking of Dan, I was planning to have this conversation with him directly, but I got to tell you something. I haven't heard from Dan all week. The last I heard from Dan was a little bit after the radio show, and I'll talk you through this. We did the radio show. During the radio show, Dan clearly was having some issues. He was not feeling well. He was very feverish. He had the body sweats. And during the break, he said to me, Dish, I'm just dying here. I can't make it through. And I said, hey, you can't make it through. You can't make it through. You got to take out of the game. Get take out of the game. Are you hurt or are you injured? He said, no, I'm injured. I got to come out. I used to have with my kids all the time. You hurt or you injured? What does that mean? You got to come out of the game, or can you keep playing? Got to come out. You got to go to the hospital, or you want to come out of the game? Oh, I'll say. I'll play. Now, you use that line with your kids. It always works. You hurt like you have to go to the hospital, or you hurt like you need 5 minutes. Takes care of it every time. All right, so anyway, with Dan falling by the wayside, I started to speculate as to what he was really doing on New Year's that got him so sick. And for those of you who didn't listen, when he came down with his inexplicable fever and other symptoms, we did a quick analysis on WebMD, and the empirical and circumstantial data led me to conclude that he had toxic shock. And this I derived that he received, or that he obtained it New Year's Eve because he was partying with hookers and there were anal beads involved. Now, Dan is a nice Midwestern guy from Kansas City, and when his children heard that, maybe they banned him from ever speaking to me again. That's possible. But it's starting to look more and more like this is what happened because toxic shock's a serious thing. Dan's nowhere to be found. I think there was some message that I got from him that he had some kind of crazy infection in his foot and he was going to be in the hospital. But he honestly have not heard from Dan in 5 days, and that's not like him. And he's not on the show today, which is not like him. So, Dan, hopefully you are listening to the show, hearing me besmirch your name, and I will tell you I take it all back. It was not you partying with hookers. It was a simple fever and a foot infection. Everybody knows it. I'm sorry. Call me. Where are you? I'm like a trapeze artist on the tightrope. Is it a trapeze artist or a tightrope artist? One of them. I'm like walking the tightrope and there's a trapeze, not a net below me. Does that make sense? It's going to have to. But from this raucous, disgusting talk to the pure of heart, it is Timmy Tebow time. And you all know how much I love him. And I'm telling you right now, the Patriots-Broncos football game this weekend will be by far the highest rated non-Super Bowl ever. Maybe ever. It will be the highest rated non-Super Bowl ball game. Everybody is watching this game. Whether they like football or not doesn't matter. They like Tebow. And I love seeing Bill Maher insult Tebow and say some stuff about Christianity. I looked, and Bill Maher's got 800,000 followers. Tebow's got 1.5 million Facebook followers. Double the size. Dwarfs him. See? Good wins over evil. Not that Bill Maher's evil. I kind of like him, actually. It's kind of funny. But yeah, the Denver game, Tebow beating the Steelers, was one of the great games to watch. And truthfully, I sort of called it, as you know, but here's what I said, and here's why I thought it was possible, and here is ultimately why they did win. The Steelers did not have Ryan Clark, their leading tackler, and somebody who allows Polamalu, who plays with Polamalu enough to know where he's going and what he has to cover. That hurt them a lot, especially on the game's final play. If they had Clark, you never know if Thomas can break that tackle like he did on Monday. Not only that, Big Ben, I said Big Ben can't really move, and he can't, although he did put on an absolutely heroic effort coming back in that game. He must have got shot up with pain meds in the second half at halftime. He must not have taken it before the game for fear it would wear off, and he took it at the halftime because he was absolutely outstanding in the second half. And although I'm no fan of Roethlisberger as a person, I'm a big fan of the way he plays football. Rashard Mendenhall was the least of their worries. We said that, and we were right. Isaac Redmond was absolutely fine, did nothing to hurt their team. And we said the Denver defense had to contain that Steeler offense and make them take long drives and make them not able to get those big plays. And Denver's defense did that. So ultimately in that game, Denver got screwed on another call on that backwards pass. Absolutely, the ball should have gone to Denver, and that would have been at the Steelers' 18-yard line, and they could have put the ball away there. They also got screwed on that interception that guy dropped, and another interception that they had but was called back. So I think that ultimately Denver was amped to play. Tebow has that team believing in him again. And what was amazing to see was that even though they started out struggling so much and Tebow started out and they were down 6-0, honestly, as a Michigan fan, I felt like I was watching a Michigan football game, a Lloyd Carr football team, meaning if I were the Steelers, where you go down, you dominate the early part of the game, you have a chance to go up 14-0, and you walk away, you're only up 6-0, two field goals. Then Denver comes back with one score, they're ahead 7-6. So anyway, what a game. Great game. Steelers dared him to beat them through the air. They had 9 in the box all game. Elway said, sling it, fling it, and he did. And truthfully, I was just amazed at Tebow's poise. And of course, Elway gets the credit. He told him to throw it. But what I really loved on game day was Tebow's Bible verse. He always posts on his Facebook page a verse of the Bible or a quote, and it was from Hebrews 12. And the quote basically, I'll summarize, it was something to the effect of that all this pressure from outside sources when you go to appear and, you know, in front of all the pressure, it's really nothing. You know, Jesus died for your sins and think what he had to go through. So what you're going through is nothing. I kind of like that. Maybe that's where the guilt comes from. It's fantastic. You know, Jesus died for your sins. What he did was real work, was really hard, was real pressure. What you're doing is playing a kid's game called football. And it actually is very true. And I liked seeing the way that Tebow handled being in the limelight. I liked seeing the way that Denver played that game. I like seeing the underdog win. And I think the Denver-New England game is going to be fascinating because if you really look at the first game they played, Denver outplayed them at the beginning of the game. And it wasn't that New England took the game from Denver. Denver really gave it back with 3 first-half turnovers that created an environment for New England to go and stomp them. New England obviously is the better team. New England obviously is the favorite to win this and probably to go to the Super Bowl. But I have to tell you, I'm taking Tim Tebow in Denver with an over-teaser. That's my bet of the week. Broncos over-teaser. Probably going to get about 25 points. I think it's good. What's the line going to be? Between 13 and 15, I guess. So you get about 20 points, and you go over. And you know Brady's putting up points. And quite frankly, seeing Tebow do it with his passing was something that was really exciting to watch. And New England had the worst passing defense in the league this year. Now, granted, they get back McCourty, and they're going to be a little bit better. They're healthier. They've had time to heal up. They've had time to scheme. But here's the thing that bothers me about people saying Tim Tebow is not an NFL quarterback, even though he's winning. They still have these notions that he's not an NFL quarterback. Well, let me ask you something. Who do you think that Bill Belichick is scheming for this week? Who do you think the defensive coordinators are worried about? They're game planning for Tebow. They're game planning for his running ability, and now they're game planning for the fact that if they go 9 in the box and they leave Daenerys Thomas on an island, Thomas is going to the house. Anyway, it's Fantasy Insights Radio. We got about 30 seconds to the break. Matt's musical stylings are going to take us out. When we come back, or I should say when I come back, we'll start talking a little bit of playoffs. I'm still waiting for a co-host. Anybody call in, 888-346-9144. Come on the radio show and join me, Fantasy Insights Radio. We'll be back after this.
Ay, candela, 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 me quemo ahí.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Do you love sports talk?
Can't get enough sports talk?
Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
What's the national pastime in the U.S. in the 21st century?
Are you sure? Think again.
3 out of 4 Americans have made NFL football the true American pastime. It's now one of the fastest growing sports in the world. But how do we as fans understand everything that goes on behind the scenes? Tune in to Enter the League with Eugene T. Lee Esquire as your host. Eugene was the featured NFL agent in the ESPN acclaimed documentary The Dotted Line. And now he takes his expertise to the Voice America Sports Channel. Listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
School to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
Well, I'm still flying solo. I'm here all alone. Nobody's calling to be my co-host. I'm surprised, all you entertainment junkies out there. I see a few calls coming in. I'm just not taking all of them. Some of them are joke calls. Smitty, I don't know where you are. It's 2:19. You're supposed to have called already, but I haven't heard anything from you. Kevin's gone. Dan's dead. Is anybody out there? Or I feel like, you know, one of that, what's that, a Pink Floyd song? Is there anybody out there? Isn't that from The Wall? Yeah, I always crack up because one time I remember I came home from college and my mom was reorganizing a bunch of stuff, as moms will do. And she says, basically, she's categorized my videotapes. And so I go look through my videotapes and my first thought, of course, is, God, I hope she didn't find the porn. I really hope she didn't find the porn because moms don't react well to finding their son's porn. And getting caught, by the way, when you're a teenager. With all your hormones, you got all your zits and everything still at that age, and you're going through puberty. Getting caught by mom is no fun. You come up with any excuse you can. What were you doing? I was just seeing the trajectory. If I were to make a tent, I was doing an experiment, you know. Anyway. Gruden is staying in Cincinnati. I don't know how I got there from this and from the organizing videotapes. So I didn't even tell you the punchline. So she's organizing the videotapes. And I go and I'm looking through my categorization of videotapes and I see Michael Jackson, did Off the Wall. And Pink Floyd, obviously, is The Wall. So I see my videotape of The Wall, Pink Floyd. I mean, it was in college, guys. Come on. It was Pink Floyd and marijuana. By the way, did you see that study, that marijuana smoking over a 20-year period, they tested people, no adverse lung function? No adverse lung function. All right, all you college kids, go blaze up. Everybody, all you hippies, get out your stash. It's time to go ahead and smoke. But anyway, I'm looking at my videotapes, and it says, Pink Floyd, off the wall. Oh, you can't get any further apart than Michael Jackson and Pink Floyd. I think that's what my parents knew when I finally started smoking weed. So when I went away to college and all I listened to was rap and hip-hop, and I came back and all I had was Pink Floyd and Fish and Grateful Dead music. My dad said that was a pretty good clue. I wasn't real good at hiding my tracks. I would have been an awful criminal. All right, and anyway, getting back to football, Reggie McKenzie is going to Oakland to be the GM there. Hugh Jackson was fired, so somebody's going to get that job. Apparently, the front runner is Winston Moss from the Raiders. John Gruden is staying in the booth. His brother Jay, maybe a little young and amateurish, says he's staying in Cincinnati. He did get a 3-year, $3.6 million extension, but he could have probably landed a couple million a year salary to go and be the head coach in an organization. Although, I have to tell you, he's smart to stay away from Jacksonville. Mularkey went to Jacksonville. Horrible decision for Jacksonville. Horrible decision for Mularkey. Mularkey needs a head coaching job, so that's why he's taking it. But I would not want to hang my coaching hat, my future in the NFL, to the wagon known as Blaine Gabbert. That is not at all an NFL quarterback. He still sees ghosts in the pocket. And how does he escape scrutiny when Tebow doesn't? I mean, it's just amazing. Tebow's a winning quarterback in the NFL. Gabbert can't win a game to save his life. And just because he is a quote-unquote prototypical crow quarterback, everybody loves him. Did you hear about what the owner of the Jaguars, the new owner, how he offended everybody? Basically, he said that a real Jaguars fan is a season ticket holder, and that's who he's concerned about, kind of ignoring the fact that in the real world, people have lost their jobs and can't really afford to buy your expensive season tickets. Instead, they have parties at home on Sundays and wear your Jacksonville Jaguars jerseys while they're drinking beers with their friends. Well, maybe they won't wear Jaguars jerseys anymore, Mr. Khan. Jeez. I think he'll have to do some damage control pretty quickly. Speaking of Jacksonville, just a horrible franchise right now. I do not have any faith in the franchise simply because they've made the decision to go ahead with Blaine Gabbert. Now, I watched every quarterback play this year, and I would say Blaine Gabbert is no better than the 45th or 46th best quarterback in the NFL at his best. And when he is mature, he's no more. He's definitely not a Super Bowl quarterback. He may not even be a playoff quarterback. I don't even know if he's a 500 quarterback. I don't think you can teach not seeing ghosts in the pocket. This guy, when he sees a defensive lineman coming at him, he cowers like when I see a 300-pound dude coming down a dark alley. I mean, he's scared. You can't be scared in the pocket, not in the NFL. I could be scared in the pocket in the NFL. Give me that job. I'll study the film at least. Jeff Fisher probably going to the Dolphins is the latest. Could go to the Rams still, but the Rams have really stepped up their search with Chudzinski and McCoy. The defensive coordinator out of Green Bay or Denver, wherever they're coming from. They got a million people. But McCoy, the offense coordinator from Denver now, is, of course, the hottest name because of the game last week and what he did with Tebow and the play calling. Tampa Bay, they fire Raheem Morris, and they are just interviewing old people. Like I said, it's not even old school. It's just old people. Mari Schottenheimer, are you kidding me? You're going to bring him back? Well, I said that, and then I looked at the numbers, and Marty's last season, he was 14-2. As long as you don't have to take Schottenheimer, the younger Schottenheimer, with you, it's no problem. By the way, the younger Schottenheimer is going to get the job in Jacksonville. Can you believe this? So if you're Jacksonville, you just hired Mike Mularkey, a coach who just was the offensive coordinator for a team that in a playoff game scored 2 points, meaning they didn't score, the defense did. Okay? They didn't score. They didn't score in a playoff game. This is the guy you're hiring to lead your organization. And he had a failed opportunity in Buffalo where he was one of the worst coaches in the league and was clearly overmatched. Now, you grow up and you grow up and you go. Now, to supplement this bozo, they go out and they hire Schottenheimer from the Jets, is the rumor, that he's going to be their offensive coordinator. a guy who failed to develop Mark Sanchez and who was solely responsible for a failed offensive game plan and scheme all year long. Even at their best, the Jets didn't have great play calling. When you have been replaced as an offensive coordinator by Tony Sparano, come on. Sparano's an offensive line guy. All he does is call run plays. Okay, so we came up with the Wildcat, but it wasn't even him. Henning came up with that. So I just don't like what's going on in Jacksonville. And again, this is right now where as a fantasy owner, you know, you hear Malarkey is their coach, and you hear Schottenheimer's going there. It means the only draftable player on that team, once again, is Maurice Jones-Drew, maybe Mercedes Lewis. Maybe Malarkey will figure out how to get him the ball. All right, the Rams search. Chudzinski's the guy they should hire. Young quarterback, Sam Bradford. Chudzinski took Newton, did what he did. They obviously missed Chudzinski terribly in San Diego. Nobody's talked about that, on why San Diego went downhill. Well, it's because Rivera and Chudzinski left. Two excellent coaches. And North Turner clearly was supplemented by the game planning and scheming and film study that those two guys were doing. So I don't like to see that ignored in the process. Looks like Turner is going to keep his job, though. The Jets staff turnover is ridiculous. Okay, I get Sperano's coming in to do the running game. Now Todd Haley's going to come in to coach the passing game. Are you kidding me? Are you really going to do this? This is the new NFL. Now I don't have to deal with third down backs and first down backs and goal line backs and fullbacks and vultures and H-backs. Now I got to deal with an offensive coordinator on the run and an offensive coordinator on the pass. Are you kidding me? What's next? New special teams coaches for punting versus kickoffs? Give me a break. Come on. That's over specialization. That's actually what that is. That's a waste of money. That's a waste of your company's resources that could be redirected elsewhere. For instance, rather than have two offensive coordinators, one who calls runs and one who calls passes, why don't you hire one of the many offensive coordinators who can call both? And then take that other money and hire somebody else in your research department on statistics so you can figure out how to beat teams and what's going to work and what's not. Break down that film study. Now, the other thing I want to talk about now, moving from the Jets, staying in the division, is the Patriots. And one thing that's got me a little bit irked, and that is Josh McDaniels going to the Patriots right away. Is this something that should be allowed? I mean, McDaniels, he's out as the offensive coordinator of the Rams. He's going to be the Patriots offensive coordinator next year. I understand Bill O'Brien took the Penn State job. By the way, a terrible, terrible move by him to go to Penn State, O'Brien. He could have had a pro job. Why do you go to Penn State, a program which will forever be vilified and remembered for what it is, and not to mention a third or fourth rate at best school in the Big 12, with Michigan getting better, with Wisconsin where they are, with Nebraska in the conference, with the way Michigan State's been playing, and with Ohio State getting Urban Meyer? Are you going to go to Penn State? Are you kidding me? Give me a break. McDaniels to the Patriots bothers me, though. And it bothers me because he drafted Tebow and he drafted Denarius Thomas. He drafted these guys, and he knew their offense, and he knows the ins and outs of every player. And, yeah, I understand. It's, you know, then if they don't want him to screw him, then they should keep him. But shouldn't he have to wait till after the year? And shouldn't he have to wait, just like the coaches have to wait to get interviewed? Shouldn't they have to wait or to get hired? Shouldn't they have to wait till after the season's over to get a new coach midstream? I mean, I guess it's no different than when they take a player and sign him off another team's practice squad the week before they're going to play that team because they want that player's insight on the game plan. You know, Dallas is playing the Giants, so Dallas signs somebody off the Giants practice squad the week before the game, that type of thing. I think it's a loophole, but I can tell you this right now, speaking of loopholes, and this just touched it off because of that Denver thing, that's a loophole they're going to close, is that backwards pass play when they blew the whistle. And another loophole that needs to be closed, getting to that, is Tim Tebow for president. How can this guy be president? Can he? He was born in the Philippines. I don't know if that means it. Well, I guess Obama wasn't really born here, so hey! I'm not a birther. Don't get into it. I don't think Obama should be removed because he wasn't born here. I think he should be removed for a lot of other reasons, and I think he should be removed through an election, a normal process. And by the way, Dan, if you're listening, your girl Michelle Bachmann, out of the race. Yeah, she lasted longer than Herman Cain, but at least he was doing well. And Dan's going to love this because he loves Santorum and the Google problem. It's his favorite thing. And if you don't know about Santorum's Google problem, Google Santorum Google problem right now, and you'll get yourself quite a good laugh. All right, we're going to get to the injury reports. The big injury, really, is Lance Moore. Looks like he's going to play. James Starks, likely going to play. And then I'm looking at Brian Dawkins for Denver. If he can get in there, maybe they have a shot at New England. Without Brian Dawkins, I don't think that defense in Foxborough is going to have a chance. I mean, they already are towing a very thin line. All right, when we come back, we'll go position by position for next season. We'll go to games. I'll talk to you about who's going to win, who's not. Fantasy Insights Radio, taking you out to break with Matt's Musical Stylings.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Lockdown Coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steel, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steel Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
Apparently nobody wants to be on the radio today. So I wonder if this is a conspiracy by a revolt. Maybe we're watching a revolt in action. Maybe this is sort of like the fantasy football spring. You know, we had the Arab Spring? Yeah, which, by the way, how's that turning out for you, everyone? See, here's the problem I have with the world, okay? Arab Spring is great. Great. We're revolting against tyranny. We're supporting all the people revolting against tyranny. We're going to give them open elections. And then what do? They go and they elect terrorists to run their government. Now, what do you do when somebody does that? Well, if you're living up to your word, then you say, okay, you can have free elections. But understand, if you elect a terrorist government, you are a terrorist state. And now you're an enemy. Screw you. Goodbye. Poof. That's why I'll never be president. I'd blow too much shit up. I love blowing stuff up. I usually blow it up with words, blow it up with actions. You know, like I'll go into a room full of people and I'll say something stupid and I'll blow up the room. But I might like having the capability to blow things up. You know, like that person didn't like my predictions and wrote me a nasty email. Poof! They're disintegrated. Ahmed Ajad was popping off. Poof! He was assassinated. Oh, by the way, did you read about this Mission Impossible stuff going on in Iran where the bomb maker's car got blown up? Right out of a movie. Scene right out of a movie. Two motorcycles. They've got to be, now in the movie, what are those motorcycles called, the really fast ones? You know the one I'm talking about. It's like a Ducati. One of those Ducati, two guys in Ducatis. And in my movie, They're both in black suits, black leather suits, head to toe, with like the Ming. You remember in Top Gun, the pilots, what they were wearing in the MiGs? Not the Top Gun pilots, the enemy. They had like that black helmet on. That's what I'm seeing. That black helmet, black face mask, so you can't see anything in it. Black leather, head to toe. One of them's got to be a hot chick, obviously, with a great butt. Looks good in leather. The other's got to be some beefcake dude who can sell sodas after it's over. And so the two of them are riding on these motorcycles. They speed down. They pop a magnetic bomb onto the back of the car of the bomb maker. And they speed away. And all of a sudden, poof, huge explosion. The bomb maker and his friends are dead. Love it. Love that kind of stuff. Yeah, I have no remorse about killing Iranian nuclear scientists. Sorry. They're designing it to kill us. So kill them first. Sorry. Not even eye for an eye. Eye before an eye. Boy, am I on tangents. See what happens when there's nobody here to police me? I start running off into politics. I have nobody to talk to, so I have nobody to rein me in. I have nobody to tell me how silly I am, how stupid I am. And, of course, that will all change as soon as I walk in home today and get in my door, and my wife will be happy to do all that for me. All you married guys know that I'm right. That's the old joke. How do you make a woman stop talking to you? Marry her? All right. Getting back to the injury report, Lance Moore, we talked about. Jennings and Starks both going to be fine. Dawkins is out. Decker is out. Well, Dawkins actually is a game-time decision, but there's no way he's going to play. His injury is probably career-threatening. Andre Johnson is fine. He showed that. Anquan Boldin is going to play. I don't think that necessarily means so much. In looking at the games this weekend, the games that obviously are going to draw the most attention are going to be the New Orleans and San Francisco game, just because Drew Brees. Right now, if you're a football fan, watching Drew Brees and the Saints play is a pure joy. It's just absolute pleasure to watch that offense work. And this game's intriguing because it's in San Francisco where the 49ers have been so tough. It's with one of the best defenses in the NFL this season and probably for the past several seasons as far as talent. And I love their rookie, Ayers. Where's it, Johnson? One of them. Maybe Ayers is on Denver. I don't know. They got some hot rookie. The rookie lineman who rushes, the D lineman. I love him. It's either Ayers or Johnson or something. Anyway, he goes along with Patrick Willis, and these guys in San Francisco, they hit. They play coherent defense. They know where everything's going to be. They do great film study. Harbaugh has them charged up, believing that they can win. Now, it really sucks for San Francisco that they drew New Orleans. It really sucks. The advantage that they have here is that they're at home, but New Orleans is not going to be intimidated, and the only prayer the Niners have is if somehow there's one of those swirling candlestick winds or rain and mud, because the Saints just have proven that they can score at will, and there's just no way San Francisco's offense can score with New Orleans. And this is different than the Denver-Pittsburgh-David Goliath thing for two reasons. Number one, nobody on San Francisco is Tim Tebow. Nobody prays all day, and nobody has faith, and nobody, therefore, gets the rewards of having faith. Number two, the Saints are not the Steelers. The Saints are healthy as they've been. The Lance Moore injury matters about zero. Drew Brees is playing as well at his position as anybody who's ever played the game. And right now, he's at the hottest he's been. I think in the last 3 weeks, he has 14 touchdowns, something like that, 13 or 14 touchdowns. I mean, it's insane the way that this team is playing. So, New Orleans wins. Again, I got to believe it's a 10-point victory. Again, I hear I would tease New Orleans and the over. That's my teaser. Underdog over teaser is always the better bet in the playoffs. But New Orleans is the one team that you can't be afraid of giving points, and you can't think that just because you're getting 18 points, it's enough. I mean, I could see New Orleans win that game 35-0, and I think San Francisco is a pretty good team with a good offense. Maybe they win the game 41-22, 41-25, somewhere in that range. But I just don't see San Francisco keeping up with New Orleans, even though they're, in my opinion, the story of the year as far as team goes and a model for everybody to look at. If there's another Harbaugh, even if he's an infant, he'll get a job. The Giants at Green Bay, that's going to be a very interesting game for many reasons. Number one, the best part of this game is going to be the over-under on the shade of red that Tom Coughlin's face gets. Does it get quite to a, does it Rubicon all the way to a purple feel? or does it stay in the red tones? I'm saying by the end of the game, it's to a bright red purple mix, which will come off as almost a cardinal or a magenta. So anyway, the weather, obviously a big factor. We'll see how Tom Coughlin's face holds up. The Giants putting it all together at the right time on the offensive end. And what will tell the story of this game? Because the Green Bay defense is in disarray. They've been giving up points upon points upon points. What is going to tell the story in this Giants and Green Bay game is going to be the Giants pass rush. Now, the Packers get Clifton back at left tackle. That's a big add to get him back. A stud of a player, but I think he missed 12 games this year. The problem it presents is they might get a little overconfident and not have a tight end help with the double teaming. The reason the Giants pass rush is so important in this game is because if Green Bay has to keep a tight end in, that means they're going to have to either get rid of the fullback or they're going to have to get rid of an extra receiver. So they likely would get rid of the fullback. So their spread is going to be probably Ryan Grant in the backfield, and what they would like to do, along with the quarterback and five linemen, what they would like to do is have three receivers in Finley. But if they need to bring in a back to protect, then one of the three receivers has to come out or Finley has to come out. Quite frankly, when you've got Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, JerMichael Finley, and then you put a James Jones, Donald Driver, Randall Cobb type as your fourth guy out there, or if you go to the five receiver set, you got them both in there, that's what you want. That's what you need to be the Packers. And the question is, like we've seen, is Aaron Rodgers good enough? Well, so far he's proven he is. But is he good enough to get the rid of the ball quickly enough even against this pass rush, which is one of the better pass rushes we've ever seen? And it really continues to be that way. Even when the Giants struggle, their pass rush doesn't. Now, what's going to hurt the Giants at the pass rushing spot? Aaron Ross and his injury in the secondary. You cannot be as aggressive rushing the pass rusher, rushing the passer, when your free safety is banged up and might not be able to close, and you're leaving your corners on an island, and you are at a deficit at every position. Nobody on the Giants can guard Greg Jennings. Nobody on the Giants can guard Jordy Nelson. And I would say nobody on the Giants can guard JerMichael Finley one-on-one. Nobody. And that's, by the way, goes for most teams. Very few teams can guard those guys one-on-one. The only team really positioned to do that was the Jets, and they're not in the game anymore. Maybe New Orleans can, but we'll see. But at the end of the day, I think that is what puts the pressure on the Giants to the point where Green Bay is pretty adept at scheming. Aaron Rodgers, the most accurate quarterback in the league, even more accurate than Drew Brees, and he will have the ability to call plays at the line that will, in my opinion, negate the pass rush. I think Green Bay wins a close game. I think it's a shootout. Green Bay has a hard time stopping the Giants' offense, and then ultimately the Giants' defense cannot stop Green Bay's offense. So Green Bay goes ahead in that. The game that nobody expected or cared about, it was going to be Cincinnati at Baltimore or Houston at Baltimore. Do you care about this game at all if you don't live in Houston or Baltimore? I mean, really, do you care? I love watching Ray Rice play. That'll be fun. I like watching Arian Foster play. I like watching Andre Johnson play. And quite frankly, before this week, I would have said there's no chance Houston goes up there and wins. But Andre Johnson is such an impact player, and what we saw in this game was how much of an impact he has made on that team this season, and the two words that describe the biggest part of his impact are Owen Daniels. Wow! Owen Daniels got off again! And the reason he got off is because Andre Johnson commands so much attention, and everybody knows Owen Daniels is the second best receiver on that team, and when Andre Johnson wasn't in the lineup, he was the best receiver on that team, so schemes were completely geared around stopping Owen Daniels. Now, with Arian Foster healthy, with Owen Daniels healthy enough, and with Andre Johnson totally healthy, all of a sudden this team has the weapons. So the question becomes, was Matt Schaub so much better a quarterback than T.J. Yates that he was the reason for the success? And quite frankly, we saw against Cincinnati, it's not the case. Yates is a very capable quarterback. In fact, this Houston team reminds me a lot of the Ravens team, not the Super Bowl winning team, not that they're that good, because they're not, but the way that they won, focused on defense and a game manager quarterback, same way San Francisco's winning. Seems to me in the NFL there's only two ways you win. You win with an unbelievable high-flying offense that can't be stopped, or you win with a game managing strategy that does ball control on the run. One or the other. Very rarely do you see teams able to do ball control. Only Peyton Manning, really. And really, I guess Aaron Rodgers and Breeze a little bit. They do ball control through the pass because they have such a high percentage. I mean, Breeze in particular, 70% completions is insane. So when we come back, because we're getting to Matt's musical stylings territory, there's about 30 seconds left till the break, we're going to finish talking about Houston and Baltimore. I keep saying we are going to talk about the Houston and Baltimore game a little bit more. I'm going to give you my insight on the New England and Denver game. I'm going to tell you what Denver's going to do, and we'll talk a little bit about the beginning of next year, some draft picks, Fantasy Insights Radio, when we come back right after this.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Sports have become a big part of everyone's lives today. We all have that team that we live and breathe to follow. We watch hours of football on TV, play Madden Sports on our gaming system, and our wives can't seem to tear us from the couch. If this sounds like you, or if you're a football wife who wants a few words, we want to hear from you. Listen for Life, Love, and Sports, featuring your host, Ron Dixon. Ron takes you inside the world of sports and finds out what you, the fan, are talking about today. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams. Time for you to call in and quiz the experts. We are passionate about the game. Our toll-free number is 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to dish@fantasyinsights.com. Now, back to our game.
You know, during the break, I always surf the internet a little bit to see if I can find anything worth talking about. And I can tell you, I found something. Oh my God. You learn something new every day. Now, this is not a disorder I've ever heard of. But I can tell you right now, I can guarantee you that Hazel Jones of Australia is the most popular woman anybody knows. I'm reading an article from, I'm not lying to you, it's on ABC News right now. If you Google Hazel Jones, I'm sure you'll find it. Woman born with two vaginas. I can't even stop laughing, I love it so much. Can you imagine? I mean, let's take out the parents' side, because you never want to give birth to, when you have a young girl, I have a daughter, you hate it. If my daughter had two vaginas, double the risk? Double the men after? Oi! I couldn't take it. Vaginas! I don't understand. Are they side by side? Front to back? But the best part is there's this supplemental article that says, born with two vaginas, not so rare. I understand the double uterus, the double cervix. It's just the double vagina thing I'm trying to figure out. How do you have, where are they? I know where one is. My wife's going to make a funny comment about that. At 18 years old, this woman was diagnosed, I think she has two periods. She says it's a great icebreaker at parties. But basically, okay, She has a septum or dividing wall between her two vaginas, which occurred during her own development in the womb, say the doctors. It occurs 1 in 3,000 women. Wow. There's a lot of double vaginas out there, guys. So now my criteria for dating, in fact, we're under Dish's rule, Dish's law. So instead of, you remember we were talking about Dish's law at the beginning of the show? Dish's law is women with two vaginas are put on a pedestal. They can rule the world. They get whatever they want all the time. Wow, every one concubine, I get double the pleasure. Has Doublemint found this girl? Doublemint should make her the spokesman of their campaign. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. I'm going loopy. I got nobody here to control me. Oh, man. This will be one we throw, not in the archive. We'll throw this one in the trash. That's not funny, born with two vaginas? I'm sorry. I mean, you probably would have a bigger story and a national world thing. There's got to be guys that were born with two penises. How come we never heard about that? I don't know. All right, I guess women wouldn't be as excited about that as we are about the other. See, now, two vaginas is cool. Three boobs, not cool. Nobody cares about three boobs. I wonder if more people have two vaginas or three boobs. All right, I think we've digressed quite enough, we being me, myself, and I, as you know. And let's get back to football. And incidentally, speaking of, vaginas and penises, Katy Perry, one of my favorites, by the way, Katy Perry. Oh, do I love seeing her in a tight shirt. Boy, is she something. She's divorced. She's single now. And apparently her parents, because she used to be a Christian singer, they're trying to fix her up with Tim Tebow. And they reached out to his people. And I guess they never responded, but Tim put something about how he hopes people are going to church, you know, because Katie's got emotions because she's going through divorce, and, you know, you need to pray for that. Anyway, maybe they'll get together. It would be a pretty cool couple. Tebow's the one guy in the world. I don't begrudge him anything. I mean, probably he could even get the girl with two vaginas. Hazel Jones, you're on my list. Wow. I would milk that for everything it's worth if I were her. I would be on every talk show. I would be writing best-selling books. I'd even start my own Vegas show or a brothel and, like, make it the premium offering. I can't help myself, guys. Come on. It's one of those stories. I didn't even know this existed 5 minutes ago. Now I just found out 1 in every 3,000 women has one. That means in your high school, there's likely a woman who had two vaginas. Certainly in college. Let's see, Michigan was 30,000 people. That means there are 10 women with two vaginas on campus. In a football stadium, 100,000 people, maybe 30,000 are women. There you go. Another 10 double vaginas. All right, speaking of this, leads to no real easy transition. So I'm just going to get back to football. Houston at Baltimore. Why can Houston win this game? In fact, why will they win this game? Well, I'm going to go on a limb and say I like Houston this week. I think this is a field goal at the end of the game, and the reasons I feel this way are twofold. Number one, I think Houston has the best defense in the NFL this year. Even though it isn't statistically, that is a defense that terrifies me as an offensive coordinator. They're good at every position. They're well coached. They know what they're doing, and they're playing well. They also hit. They hit like crazy, and really why they're so good is they have so much speed at the linebacker position, and that's where Baltimore really does their damage, in the middle of the field. The other place Baltimore does their damage is on the outside to Torrey Smith deep, but guess what? That's once every three games they connect. So Torrey Smith being shut down really crushes the Baltimore offense, because you obviously know you're going to scheme around Ray Rice. If you shut down Ray Rice, you got a good chance of beating Baltimore. So I think that Houston will do that, and we're going to see. The Ray Rice, Torrey Smith hand-in-hand thing, I don't think Bolden being back makes a bit of difference. If Torrey Smith can get deep because they're paying too much attention to Ray Rice, Baltimore has a chance to win this game. But I think that Baltimore defense is overrated this year. I've said it all along. I know they're playing well, but I don't see Arian Foster struggling for yards against that defense like you normally struggle. I don't see Andre Johnson struggling to get open like you normally see against that Baltimore defense. And I don't see T.J. Yates intimidated when he's already played a playoff game and won, when he's been through the season, he's seen these teams before. He's not going to be put in a situation to make game-defining plays. He will have some game-defining plays by default, but they're going to call and scheme around him. So I think Houston has a chance. I would take Houston in the points in that game. Final game on the board, you got to look at Denver at New England. Like I said, it's going to be the highest rated game. Tim Tebow is a star amongst stars. This is a guy who has a following, who has a following, and the most important following is the following in his own locker room. The fact that he has the faith of his team behind him, and he is getting them to buy in to what he's doing. And now, I think he really did get the key piece of advice from Elway. Sling it. You ever see that old clip of Brady and Bledsoe, the year that the NFL story, they do those championship team, I forget what it's called, America's Game maybe, and they're talking about Brady, the final drive against St. Louis in that Super Bowl before he comes in to take him down the field, and he looks at Bledsoe and everybody on the sideline, the coach is saying, don't throw an interception, just be real careful with the ball, throw it out of bounds, don't take a pass. And Bledsoe looks at him and goes, screw it, fling it. And Brady says, I went out there and I slung it all over the field and we won. So I think that's kind of what Elway gave Tebow. He relieved the pressure. He said, hey, sling it. Just toss it. Throw the ball. You're holding the ball too long. And actually, it's what we talked about on the show last week. Tebow was holding the ball too long. As soon as he started getting rid of the ball, it would set up his run as well. And Denarius Thomas doesn't hurt the way that he's playing. I'm telling you right now, I'm taking Denver in the points. And do not be surprised. Do not be surprised if Denver upsets New England. How is New England vulnerable? They're vulnerable to a team that has an excellent defense that can stop their passing game and defend their running game without bringing extra guys up in the box they can, and to a team who can go deep on the outside of the field with an athletic receiver, which they have in Demaryius Thomas. So my guess is New England wins by a touchdown, maybe two, not more than that. Although I'm predicting a close game, and I think Denver can take it. So I'm hedging my bet, saying I'm going to say I think Denver can do it, may do it, but I got New England in a squeaker. In any event, my money is definitely on it being the highest-rated non-Super Bowl ever. Tim Tebow rules. Fantasy Insights Radio made Dishes rules and Dishes law today. We hope you liked it. I finally completed a show with no help, no assistance. I know it was devastatingly painful for you to listen to, but Fantasy Insights Radio will be back next week. We'll see you.
The weekend is coming up, and now you know what's going to make you a better fantasy player. Tune in again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, for more of Fantasy Insights on the Voice America Sports Channel. Don't forget to visit FantasyInsights.com, the best fantasy football site on the net.